And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. They watched as soldiers nailed their Savior to a tree. They witnessed all the anguish, all the agony. They waited for his Father to rescue him. But then he cried out, It is finished, and they knew it was the end. The stone that sealed the tomb had finally sealed their fate, for all their hopes now lay within that borrowed grave. Left with only questions, they pondered all he said, but answers didn't matter, for now their Lord was dead. They began their final walk to say their last goodbyes. But when they reached the tomb, they could not believe their eyes. When they found nothing, they found everything. In an empty tomb, they realized what Christ himself had prophesied, that death could never hold their king. When they found nothing, they found everything. Hallelujah, he is risen. Hallelujah, praise the Lamb who had conquered death and hell, who died and Christ himself had prophesied that death could never hold their king. When they found nothing, they found everything. When they found nothing, they
What a song, what a truth, right? Matthew chapter 28 in your Bibles, please. If you would have a Bible, please open up Matthew chapter 28, first book in the New Testament. When you find that, if you please stand to your feet, Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll read verse 1 through 8 together. You follow along as I read this scripture, please. Matthew 28, verse number 1 says, In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. God, we thank you on this Easter that we can celebrate a risen Savior. Thank you, Lord, that you offer salvation free for all because you paid the sin debt on the cross, that you defeated sin, defeated death by raising again from that grave. I pray if there's anyone here today that is not saved, that they would trust in you as their Savior before they leave this room. Please be with our pastor now and fill him with your power. Lord, we need you. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, first thing first, turn off your cell phone. Check and make sure your cell phone's turned off. Because if it goes off in this service, there will be no resurrection for you. So turn the stupid thing off and make sure the stupid thing is turned off, please. We would appreciate that. Some years ago, we had the privilege to go to the Holy Land. No, it's not Texas. We went to the Holy Land and that's the tomb site. I don't know what all the rest of that stuff is up there, fellas, but they'll get rid of it in a second. My wife and I standing there, that's the tomb site where Jesus was buried. I said was buried. The angel testified that Easter Sunday morning when the women came to do the proper things at a burial site. The angels came and there was an angel told them, and gave them an invitation. He said, come see the place where the Lord lay. In my Sunday school class this morning, I was talking about the resurrection and how that in my lesson, I talked about the fact that going there and seeing the tomb. And by the way, there's pictures there of the empty tomb because it's still empty 2,000 years later. But it didn't convince me that Jesus had risen from the dead because the Bible told me Jesus rose from the dead. And look at me, that should be enough for you. Why do we trust Google more than we trust God? I don't understand that. I don't get it. And you cannot resolve the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ any other way than by faith. Not just faith in something, faith in that the Bible said Jesus would rise from the dead. Jesus said in John chapter 2, he said, destroy the temple, my body, and in 3 days I will raise it again. So he had to come out of that grave bodily, and listen now, and Jesus had to raise himself from the dead. There have been resurrections, but there have been times in the Bible and Old Testament times when someone died and came back to life, but no one's ever raised themselves from the dead. Jesus did that. Hey, look at me, people. His birth was like nobody else. Born of a virgin, no seed of man, just seed of woman, miraculous work of the Holy Spirit of God to implant in the womb of Mary the person of Christ. His life was like no other. He walked this earth like a man, but never sinned. You haven't done that, and I haven't done that. So his life was like nobody else. His death was like nobody else. When he died on the cross, it wasn't because he was crucified. It wasn't because he was tortured. It wasn't because they killed him. He gave his life. He dismissed it. So his death was like nobody else's. His burial was like nobody else, and we're going to cover that in just a few moments. His resurrection will be like nobody else's. He raised himself from the dead. So do you understand, dear people, this morning, on this Easter Sunday, can we understand in our minds today that the person of Jesus Christ is like nobody else? Let's not lump him in a category with a whole bunch of other religious stuff. When Jesus, and especially when Jesus stepped out of that tomb, he stepped into a category all his own. Come see the place where the Lord lay. What is this angel asking them to do? Well, first of all, he's asking them to consider that that's a costly tomb. You see, well, it cost Jesus nothing. It wasn't. It was given to him. Someone else, literally, that is a face of a huge, massive rock. That thing was chiseled out by hand to cut that hole. And then the opening and the inside of the tomb area, it's very small. Someone built that, made that for their own burial. They know it's the tomb of Jesus. And I was telling my class this morning, there's so many of these religious places and artifacts that are just not true. This one is as accurate as you could be. Tests were done. No one has ever been buried in that tomb. because after a while the body breaks down and the gases would then permeate the rock on the inside of that, and they scraped inside the rock. No one's ever laid a dead body that stayed there and corrupted. There was a dead body in it, but it never saw corruption. It was a costly tomb, however. You mean it cost Jesus something? It cost him his life. Ladies and gentlemen, and then by the way, and I wish I had the pictures to put up here for you. If you go to the right of that tomb, not even 150, 200 yards possibly, there's Calvary. That's where Jesus died. It still floors me to think about the fact that that day we sat there and saw the opening to this tomb, and I looked over to my right. I mean, almost literally from here to the corner of that room, maybe a little further, is where Calvary was. That means Jesus could see from the cross where he would be buried. But it cost him his life to get to that place. And his life was given not because he gave it just for the purpose of giving it. He was dying in our place. He was standing in the way of the judgment of God for our sin. That is why, dear people, do not trust religion to get you into standing with God. Do not trust your works, your life, your good deeds, your baptism, your church membership, or anything else. There is one way of salvation. And that one way is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But oh, it cost him. He had to leave heaven's glory and had to fly to the crimson womb of Mary and be planted there. Then walk 33 sinless, perfect, homesick years on this earth. And then be taken, judged unjustly, unfairly, declared guilty but innocent by every court he stood in that 24-hour period, then give himself to a howling mob that beat him till you couldn't even tell he was a human anymore. Threw a 200-300-pound cross on his back and made him drag it out to Calvary, falling under the loss of weight and his beatings. They asked someone to carry it for him. They got him to the cross, and then they drove nails through his hands and nails through his feet and hung him by his body weight on that cross. And there on that cross, they went by and they spit on him. They spit on Mary and those who were there for him. They cursed him. They told him to pull the nails out and come down. Oh, my friend, he didn't come down. Amen. And then at exactly the right moment, when the priest was offering the lamb in the temple, Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in the middle of the day, God turned his back on his son, and the son turned its back on Jesus. And there was a darkness on the earth because God took the sin, our sin, the punishment, the penalty, the payment of all of it, and put it on the back of the sinless, perfect Son of God. And he died bearing that sin. No question he died. They came and thrust a spear in his side, and blood came forth because the pericardium around his heart had ruptured from the suffering and the torment, and blood came out. He was dead, ladies and gentlemen, dead. He gave his life, and in that place, because death has to be the payment for sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Well, it was a costly tomb. It cost Jesus everything to pay for our sins. That is why God will not let you put one toe in heaven until you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you get saved. And that is also why, my friend, if you come to salvation the way the Bible presents it, by trust that it is only trusting Christ, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is why if you come to salvation knowing what it is and you turn it down, you will go to hell when you die. Yeah, it's Easter Sunday, and I don't mean to mess up anybody's rabbit egg thing this morning. But let me tell you something, friend. Let's get serious for a moment. Since it cost Jesus so much to get to this tomb, to pay for our sins, God will not give you salvation in anyone, anything, anybody, anywhere, any place, except you as a sinner trusting Christ as your Savior and getting saved. I've had people say, well, Pastor, that's not fair because that's excluding all the other religions. No, it doesn't. They exclude themselves. Come on, folks. If you come to understand that there is salvation through Christ alone and you won't take that, you exclude yourself. He'll take you. Yeah, whosoever. That's a wonderful statement in the Bible word. It means anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place. You come as a whosoever needs salvation. God will give you salvation, but only through Christ. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Whew. That's a costly tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay. That's a borrowed tomb. That's not his. Joseph of Arimathea gave him that place. Jesus had to die and be buried in our place also. Borrowed place. Do you realize he made that rock? You know that, right? He made the wood, the cross from which the cross was made, upon which he was crucified. And here is Jesus Christ, God the Son and the Son of God. By him all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made. And when he comes to this earth, where does he go? A stable, a feeding trough called a manger. He has to go to a barred place to be born. He has to live with a barred family. Joseph was not his father. Mary was his earthly mom. He has to come to a borrowed family. He has to walk this earth on a borrowed life that he took for us to become like us but without sin. Then he goes to a borrowed judgment to be judged for our sins. Then he goes to a borrowed cross that he shouldn't have been crucified. You want to talk about injustice today. The injustice, the greatest injustice of mankind was the trial, judgment, and the execution, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. There's your injustice. And he takes a borrowed cross. He borrows death. He literally allowed death to take him. He dismissed his spirit. And then he goes to a borrowed tomb. Someone once said he went from a borrowed womb to a borrowed tomb. This is a borrowed place. Now look at me. He was willing to go ahead of you and experience death and burial. He borrowed that in your place for you. It's a borrowed tomb. Well, but not only that this morning, what's amazing about it is it was a guarded tomb. Before the stone was rolled away, and that was not to let Jesus out. He was already gone. Look at me. You can conquer death. You can move rocks. That's not a problem. But they put soldiers out there to make sure no one came in and stole his body. Don't you realize what that means? Those 16 soldiers out there who knew if Jesus' body was taken, they would forfeit their life. So they're going to fight to the death before they let someone come in there and steal his body. They don't realize that by doing that, they gave proof that no one stole his body. Because there had been 16 dead soldiers laying outside that tomb. They would never let a person take the body of Christ. They'd have died first because they were going to kill him if they took it anyway. It was a guarded tomb. The angels guarded that tomb. They were ready to give a tour of it. We got to walk in ourselves, walk in the tomb, walk around in there, come out and stand by that place. We had the Brother Sloan was a man that took us on the tour over there to Israel. He talked a little bit about the resurrection in the tomb, etc. So we had a guide there. It's a beautiful garden spot there. The angels were there to give a tour. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. You know what was left in the tomb? His burial cloth. Joseph had come and brought 200-pound weight to bury his body, and they wrapped them in cloth. But in the layers of the cloth, as they wrapped it, they would put spices and different things so that when the body began to corrupt and break down, then the fluids would activate the spices and things so it would cover the smell. But when they stepped into the tomb, there was burial cloth there. And there was a napkin that they had covered his face with. It's not the Shroud of Turin. Napkin that covered his face. It was folded. The only thing that was folded in the cross, in the tomb, was the napkin on Christ's face. There's a picture there. When someone ate in those days and they had servants and they were done with their meal, the servant knew it was time that the master was done eating. He would take his napkin and fold it and lay it beside his plate. And that meant, I'm done, but I'm coming back. Jesus loosed himself from the grave clothes, took the napkin in, folded it, and laid it there to remind them, I'm done, but I'm coming back. Well, it was a guarded tomb. See, Jesus had to be there 3 days and 3 nights because he said like he was like Jonah was swallowed by the whale, he'd be there 3 days, and he was there 3 days and three nights. I don't mean to mess with your religious stuff, but if you count Good Friday to Sunday morning, it ain't working, even with new math. Sorry. It's okay, though. If you did a Good Friday thing and all that kind of stuff, whatever, that's fine. But next time, get a calculator out. 3 days, three, nope, that doesn't work. Nobody had Good Thursday, but you did. The truth of the matter is, see, what's important is the fact that that tomb was guarded by God to make sure we understood that Jesus Christ died, was buried, but never saw corruption. Psalm chapter 16 and verse number 10, that Jesus told those Emmaus disciples on the road there, he used the Old Testament to tell them about his resurrection. There's a lot of stuff in the Old Testament about Christ's resurrection. Hey, God guarded that tomb. And he guarded it to make sure we understood that our Savior had to go to that place of death to come back from death to life. And, of course, it is an empty tomb. That tells us some things about Christ's resurrection. Ooh, there's some great lessons just in the empty tomb concept this morning. Some say that the Buddha, who was incinerated, you mean cremated? No, he was incinerated. That he came back, he reincarnated and came back to this life. Buddhists believe in reincarnation. But they've never found Buddha. Some say that, you know, the body of Muhammad, well, they don't say it, it's true. It lies over there wrapped in grave clothes on a slab in Mecca in Saudi Arabia. His body's still there. There's no question that's Muhammad, but he's still dead. Lenin, one of the founders of communism, that used to be a foreign philosophy and doctrine until they let him be elected in Congress. The truth is, he founded communism. They, to revere him, they put him in a glass case and preserved his body perfectly in Red Square. And for years, people would go by and just look at the body of Lenin. But he's still dead. But Jesus is alive. Amen. That's what that means. Look at me. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Realize something else. That's more than just a religious place of artifact. It's a testimony of the fact that the tomb is empty. What does that tell us? Look at me. It means death has been conquered. That thing, I don't care who you are, what you are, how brave you say you are. The reality is there will come a day when you will leave this life. Everybody's going to die. Isn't that encouraging on an Easter Sunday morning? We're all going to die. But the truth is, and for most of us, you know, that's really, be honest with you, we go, I don't care about dying. The truth is, yeah, you do too. There's a finality to leaving this life. No question. That empty tomb says, no, there's not. That's not a finality. Death did not hold Jesus. He conquered death, rose from the dead. That means death has no hold over you. If you're his child, death holds nothing for you but this. That's it. It is a brief moment that you pass from this life to the next. Well, that empty tomb tells me, I can brag that I'm not afraid of death, but when you get right down to it, I've been in situations before in my life that were life-threatening. A few times where I really thought I was going to die. And when you get to that moment where you're right on the verge of what's the potential of death, you get serious about your thinking and your living. But as a boy, I'd accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and they say you have the peace in your heart. And the truth is, I did. Because death does not hold you. There's an infatuation with death today. They don't do it, but you don't see it much anymore. There used to be people with goth out, wear everything in black, you know, and do all that kind of stuff, and they were fixated on death. It was a game to them. This ain't no game. This is a reality. And Jesus conquered death. The tomb is empty. Okay, here. That means this. He is alive. I said he is alive. Quickly now, Matthew 28 this morning. I don't mean to keep you from your egg hunt. Hold still. Look there at verse number 6 where he said he has not risen. He is not here, for he is risen, excuse me, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Verse 7, so think about it. No, go quickly and tell his disciples. Jesus is risen from the dead. Those guys who should have known and did know, but didn't believe it until a couple of them went and looked in there and go, he really did. Woo! And they went out. It's amazing. But from that point forward, the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ admonishes us now, go and do something about that. Shame on us as Christians that we have our salvation, we have our eternal life, we have heaven as our home, and we never tell another soul about it. We never do anything about that. You never talk to others about Christ. You do nothing with your witness. You keep it to yourself. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I don't believe in shoving my religion down people's throat. Good. But talk to them about Jesus and tell them there's a God that loved them and Christ who died for them and rose again. Friend, don't do that. Yesterday, I was in Mississippi this time yesterday morning, flying back from Mississippi. I did the milk run. I went from Mississippi to Dallas to Austin to Sacramento. I saw America yesterday, as a matter of fact, in about 5 hours. On the airplane, I was giving out tracts. This young Air Force guy next to me, I was telling Brother Meyer, some of our military guys, when I was in the service, the age to cut off enlistment was 25. It's 39 today. Some of you guys need to get busy. 39. This kid was 29. He'd been in the Air Force for a year. Gave him a track. Gave the stewardess a track. Gave the gate lady a track. Gave this person a track. Gave the waitress at the restaurant in Dallas when I had a beef dip sandwich. It was good. I gave her a track. Gave the maitre d' a track. Gave this person a track. Gave that one a track. Gave this another one a track. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, look at me carefully. Why do we have salvation and say it's so wonderful and don't want to share it with somebody else? Yeah, go and tell them. Yeah, that empty tomb, now it means more than just, hey, it's Easter. No, it means he's alive. Amen. It means he's living for you. He is living for you. And you can talk to him. Do you? Yeah. The truth is, this resurrection Savior, this tomb, it's an encouragement, it's a challenge to us. We really have not said goodbye to our loved ones. We just said, I will see you another day, God willing, very soon. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.